Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy Halloween, everybody. You're listening to the 24th annual DGS Halloween show. Happy Friday. Happy Halloween. Here in studio with me, I have the guys, of course. I have Frankie and Ben and Mandy. Frankie, I've known for years and years. He's my go-to ghost hunter with haunted souls. And Ben and Mandy own Emmaus Village, where we did the Halloween show this year. So this first segment, we're just going to get to know each other. We're going to give you the history of Emmaus Village, why anyone would think it's haunted, what the history is, all that kind of stuff. And so Ben and Mandy are the owners of Emmaus Village. My first question for you is, what is wrong with you?
Oh, when you find the answer, you let me know.
Like, how did this come to be?
Oh, that is such a loaded question. I don't even know where to start. Honestly, Ben and I, we only met in 2020. We decided to do a real estate investment together. He was looking for rental properties. I was recently divorced and looking just for a new place to live. So we stumbled upon this property and bought it on the auction. There's a whole backstory, but that's the synopsis.
Mandy was hiking the property because it was abandoned.
Yeah, for about a year before that.
When we met, she's like, oh, would you like to go on this date? I've got this secret spot.
Really cool
and
place
to
hike.
I showed up to meet her there. And my mom actually was a former employee of the company. Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, oh, I've been here many times. My mom worked here.
Yeah.
What?
I was blown away because I thought it was in Marthasville. Who knows of this place?
So we joked around about, well, you know, this would be a great place to purchase, a good investment, whatever.
Had a picnic on the property that day, having no idea that was actually going to happen someday.
So, Ben, what was your experience with it when you were younger, just going with your mom now and then?
Oh, well, so my mom doesn't really like to drive in bad weather and stuff, so I would drive her to work when it was snowing, stuff like that. And then I would just hang out, you know, overnight and drive her back home. I didn't really, you know, I'd only been to the property a few times, but so I hadn't been in and out of all the historic buildings, and I didn't really know that much about them back then.
Was there a reputation to it back then that you picked up?
A lot of people would talk about it, like that they had some kind of an experience and that the place was haunted, it was creepy, whatever, you know, but...
We used to spend the night there, though. Were you ever scared or nervous?
I was always in the newer buildings.
Okay.
So my mom did stay in the historic building. She had, like, her own little bedroom that she would sleep in.
When as a
she
caregiver?
So I don't know. She didn't really mention anything specific. Mm-hmm. But
so when did you guys become really aware of the past, of the history of the place?
Well, okay, so let's see. We purchased it on the auction in 2020 in October, and then we actually started renovating, and we decided it was too much, so we were going to have to move on to the property. So that happened early 2021. I will tell you, I immediately started doing deep dive historical research. That's just me. And so when I started to realize the magnitude of the history, so most people just know it as Emmaus Homes or a former Emmaus Asylum, but it's actually had multiple lives before that.
Oh.
So before that, it was a seminary for Eden Seminary, which is now in St. Louis. And prior to that time, it was an all-boys school that was headed up by the German Evangelical Synod of North America. So when I started doing that, and then before that, there was actually... There was actually even some Native American tribal stories in that area. So I was pretty shocked. So anyway, I was not a paranormal believer at that time. I just had never had any experiences really of my own. And so once I started realizing the magnitude of the history, and then I started going and knowing the history, going inside the buildings and, you know, I'm learning more and what happened here in this room. That's when I started to notice some peculiar things, which initially just started out as electrical issues with the lighting and then also doors being left open continuously. But then I still am thinking, you know, you're still kind of skeptical. And then as the years have gone on, it's got to the point now where it's you can't not be a believer anymore.
Go ahead, Ben.
There was a lot of old furniture and stuff in some of the houses, mm-hmm. and I was kind of cleaning that stuff up. And then there were like piles of books and magazines and different things. So I'm mm-hmm. like getting ready to throw that stuff in the dumpster. And Mandy would be like digging through it all.
I'm like, no,
oh my God, this is amazing. And books about Emmaus and stuff. So she was pulling all that out and reading about it. Yeah.
Oh, finding obituaries, you know, learning people, the residents. Yeah.
What were some of the first things that you guys experienced that made you go from this is a cool old place to I think we're living in a haunted house?
Oh, a haunted house. Well, haunted house would be an understatement. A haunted small compound municipality, essentially. You know, so we decided fast forward 2023, then we bought the main campus as well. Initially, we only owned part of it, which was on the north side of Highway D. 2023, we picked up the main campus, which is where all the commercial, historic, very old limestone buildings are. So when we started working in those buildings specifically, and then even more specifically, last year we did historic haunted tours just during the month of October as a fundraising event. The month or two leading up to that, so I'm going to say August, September of last year, we're cleaning out the buildings. We're really in there. We're in there, you know, deep and setting up for this huge fundraiser that's going to last a month. That's when the big, big ticket things start happening. That's when we're seeing writing on the walls behind the peeling paint. That's when we're getting lights that are answering flick once for yes, flick two for no. That's when we're getting, my daughters are getting apparitions. You know, that's when it's really hitting hard.
Yeah, for me, we were working in the asylum and we were kind of resistant to doing like a haunted event for a while, but then we'd kind of decided, you know what, we need to do this. We just need to embrace this about mm-hmm. the property and go forward with it. So we were getting everything prepped for the event, and I had been in the solitary confinement room multiple times and I had never seen writing on the wall, nothing.
Same here.
But I went in to pull the shelves down and I'm looking at the peeling paint. I see all the writing that was behind the old, you know. So this was written back in like the 20s, maybe 30s.
Earlier than that, it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into this later in the show, but I thought this was the scariest part. And I'll tell you what I think I know, and you guys correct me, that there was a man, maybe a young man, who lived there at Emmaus Village, and they called him Mad Albert. Not mad crazy, but mad, and that they couldn't control him, and so they put him in this room. And why you would ever construct a room for anything but holding brooms this size? Mm-hmm. It was so small,
yeah.
no windows in the door, and that he was kept there for like 12 years?
That's close. Mad Albert. We love Albert. So yes, my daughter named Albert Mad Albert. So Ben finds the writing on the walls. I start doing some research. I see the name Albert. Okay, I can't find anything initially in any of my research. And I'm a deep dive researcher, so I'm not going to tell anybody a story until I can make sure that I know it's true.
Perfect.
But anyway, so I ended up having to go in with my iPhone and I took photographs of every square inch of that entire cell. And then I went home and put it all together like puzzle pieces in my app on my iPad and my art app. And I was actually able to, based on what Albert himself wrote, I was able to determine Albert had been there for 13 years. I don't know if he was completely confined, but I know that that cell was his home for 13 years. I know that he was from Chicago. I know all of his family members' names. I know, you know, all of those things, except for I don't know how he got there and why. But once I was able to collect that information based on what I found on the writing on the wall, then I was able to go and do the deep dive research and confirm. But we don't have a last name still. And the reason why his name is Mad Albert is because my daughter and I, my daughter Livy, who is 11, we went in there, and my other daughter, Karis, they are helping doing some cleanup. I am taking more photographs, and Livy decides she's going to have a conversation with Albert. And she's like, I really, because the lights in his cell in particular will flick on and off randomly. And Ben is an engineer. He's checked the electrical wiring multiple times. It's been updated. There's no reason that we can think of scientifically why that would happen with the lights. So I'm taking pictures, not paying attention. Livy starts asking Albert, flick the light, you know, questions. Flick the light once for yes, two for no. And he starts, the lights start responding to my 11-year-old daughter's questions. We get to the very end. She asks him a whole series of questions. Halfway through, I'm screaming at my other daughter, take out your camera. This has to be recorded. She takes out her camera. We do have the whole second half recorded. And the very last question Livy asks Albert is, Albert, are you mad at the way that you were treated? Flick once for yes. We got one flick. Do you like being in here? Two for no. How about this? Would it make you less mad if we leave the door open for you from now on and never close the door again? And we got a once for yes. So from that point forward, his name is Matt Albert.
Wow.
And not crazy, angry, because he was confined for 13 years.
So going back to the primary iteration of Emmaus Village before Eden Seminary and such, what kinds of people made their way to Emmaus Village and for what reasons?
Yeah, so in the very, very beginning, so how this worked out was there were about 30 German families who had settled there and were trying to make a go. Now, these German settlers who were in that area, specifically the Dutzau and Warren County area, were very prominent and highly educated. They were not laborers. So they came there and were literally floored and struggling mentally and emotionally because of the amount of work. They were clearing land, literally starting from scratch, building their own utilities. So they're struggling mentally and emotionally. And so there's a traveling German evangelical minister traveling through the area, and he stops right there in Marthasville to minister to these 30 German families. And they felt so comforted by him that they begged him to stay, and he agreed, but he had a family, so they built him a farmhouse so that he could preach to these 30 German families who were settling this area. So that was the Friedensboat Farmhouse, 1840. That's the first building on the property and the very start of it all.
And then when they had patients there, were mentally ill patients, physically sick patients, both?
Both. They actually covered the entire gamut. So I have their original articles of incorporation. They will take any patient, any age, any gender, any race, creed, religion, ethnicity, nationality, color, the whole nine yards. I was shocked. So this was 1896. So they even used the word sexual preference. I'm not even kidding. They followed through. They stood on their word, and they took patients from 48 hours old, a lot of babies who were being born addicted to morphine in those days. They would go pick them up, bring them there. A lot of times they provided lifelong continuum of care, so these patients would literally die and be buried there as well. But they also took patients all the way up to geriatric patients who maybe had cancer, just needed 2 weeks of hospice. They took every ability. They took quadriplegics. They took patients who were never, you know, going to be paralyzed for their entire life. They just took Down syndrome and autism. They covered the gamut.
Okay. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to bring Frankie into this and talk about the investigations and what he has found. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to start playing you the sound that we picked up during that night at Emmaus Village. Quick break, right back. DGS Halloween Show. Welcome back, guys. DGS Halloween Show. We're talking to Ben and Mandy, who own Emmaus Village, and Frankie, who is with Haunted Souls and was with us the night we did our investigation. So we just kind of got the history of Emmaus Village and when Ben and Mandy first started noticing things, and they really ramped up. So Frankie, at some point you made your first trip out there. How quickly did you sense something?
Well, initially, our good friend Fabian Rodriguez, who was out there doing the IT stuff, he called me. He's like, "You gotta check out this place, man." And he's like, "Do you think they want to run events there and try to raise money for it?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I gotta know if it's haunted first, man. We just can't be like, you know, putting ourselves out there and then people go out there and investigate and they don't get anything for 8 hours." So we went out there initially, and it was during the day. It was during the day, and I had brought my team with me. Jeremy was with me, and we had gone in with a couple other people, just exploring and stuff initially, and then you're just kind of caught off guard at the mass of how big this place is when you come over that bridge. Yeah. It's like, oh boy. It's a big boy location. It's not like, oh, that mansion's beautiful, it's awesome, but this is like she was saying, it's like a compound of just haunted stuff. When we initially got there, we had the lights flickering in the cells, like, immediately. And I'm like, yeah, but that could be anything. And then I'd shut the light off and it would still work. I'm like, well, that's weird. you know, just, and then we had initially when we went into the college building, which is where you'll get to, but where we put your friend in the elevator shaft. That building right there, the minute I walked in, I saw a person. It's my only apparition I've actually ever seen without a camera or something. And I thought it was an employee or somebody, but there was a person in a white gown, and she was going up the stairs, and I saw the side of her face and long black hair with a white gown. She had hit the corner, and I was like, okay, it might be Mandy, right? Walked up there. There was no one there. And that's like literally the initial time we were there. I'm like, well, I think it's haunted. And then we did numerous investigations just with the team, just to make sure that we had a good handle on, and how do we market this place to ghost hunters that have so many great hot spots in Missouri, right? You know, how do we compete with that? Well, one night we had brought in a state senator. He wanted to ghost hunt, but we kept everything under wraps because, you know, politics and stuff. So it was a very quiet, private event. And he was investigating with us, and then we had body cam on. You know, I just keep the body cam on, just keep it rolling. You just never know, your hands free at that point. You can use other equipment if you want to. And something was on his chief of staff's body cam. Well, that night we had seen all these things light up, all these EVP meters, sorry, EMF meters, were just lighting up on the same in the observation room. I was like, man, that's crazy. I've never seen three different brands of EMF detectors go off. And when I got home, Jeremy wasn't with us. And I'm like, man, you should have saw the night. I mean, these EMF detectors are just firing off. And he's like, well, how many did you have together? I'm like, three different brands. Never seen that. He goes, that's an anomaly. He said, well, what else did you see? And I said, well, we were just, he's like, you made the number one mistake of being a seasoned ghost hunter. When the EMF detector goes out, don't look at the detector, look around you. So I went back to the footage. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting in my studio. And I'm bringing up this footage, and all of a sudden, there it is, as clear as day. This little boy just walks right out, this ghost kid. And he stands there. We've shown that video to people. And they just can't debunk it. We sent it to people on YouTube that debunk it. They're like, I don't know how to debunk that. Because it's body cam. You can't take the thing out, right? It's inside. It's police body cam. It's the most incredible footage that we've ever seen. And at that point, we were like, we got to talk to Ben and Mandy about getting some people out here to investigate and run some events. But it's a very... But nothing evil, right? I've never felt...
No.
I felt scared in that place because it is very creepy and there is something that could get... But I wouldn't say dark. I wouldn't say evil. I wouldn't say demon. I would say that there's something very heavy there. Like something... Yeah. And we made a lot of mistakes in the beginning with medical practice, especially with mental illness. And so I think that's the heaviness that you feel there.
Okay, when we come back at the top of the hour, we will launch into our investigation. Frankie and his team were there. They had lots of different components, and they were all going crazy. And we caught some stuff that I think is even going to surprise you guys, because we didn't hear it at the time, but we found it on the recording. Welcome back, guys. Happy Halloween, 24th annual DGS Halloween show. A few weeks ago, we went to Emmaus Village out near Marthasville, Missouri. Ben and Mandy are here. They are the owners of Emmaus Village. My buddy Frankie is here from Haunted Souls, who is with us. They're doing the investigation the night we were there. So the first half hour, we went through all the history of the property and some of the first signs that the property might be haunted. And we're about to get into our night and some of the things that we picked up. But first, I wanted to go back to Mandy. I thought a pretty incredible story about this little boy ghost.
Yes.
That your daughters had some experience with.
Yes, yes. So my daughter, Karis, she is 14 at the time this was happening. She was about 13. And Frankie had mentioned earlier that they had caught the apparition of the boy. Well, Karis, my daughter, had watched that online and was like, oh, I've seen him. That's the boy I've been telling you about. And so she's seen him twice, just kind of lurking. I say, floating around, I guess, pun intended. But once by the college building and then once by the administration building. And what was interesting was she said he's about my age. And so I think that, you know, we're guessing he's somewhere around there, like either tween or very early teen. But anyway, so she has seen him twice. She's on the spectrum, so she thinks visually in pictures, but then also she has she sees apparitions. So I think that that's her gift. I think she's clairvoyant. But she did have another really remarkable experience. So we were over there doing some work one night. We came home. We went to bed. She woke up in the middle of the night, and I actually thought she was having a nightmare. But anyway, it turns out she spoke two full sentences in Latin. Now, you cannot make this up. I swear on my life. I don't speak Latin. She doesn't speak Latin. None of us have heard it, but it sounded very, very fluent. And so I don't know what was stated to her. But anyway, I tried to wake her up. She had no memory of it. The only reason I knew it was Latin was because I used to teach Montessori and we had a full-time Latin teacher and I could hear him in the background speaking. But anyway, but I couldn't figure out what's the connection with Latin. Why would he be speaking Latin? And anyway, all that to say, I did another deep dive in the research. And sure enough, the students that were there during the time before it was the seminary for the boarding school were taught, they had a full-time Latin teacher, and it was part of their graduation requirement that they be trilingual. They had to speak fluent German, fluent English, and fluent Latin. So wow. I just was like, well, there it is. You can't make that up.
So we're about to play some sounds here, and we had several components from Frankie and his team. One of them was a bell, and I'm going to guess the bell isn't supposed to go off as often as it did with us. I mean, it was really going. And then the other was this device, I think it was on an iPad, that's just sort of like random sounds and voices and words and things like that. Kind of give us a little primer on what we're listening to.
Yeah, so the bell you refer to is called the dead bell. It works the same way EMF, so electronic magnetic fields. The theory is that ghosts can materialize, get more energy using these types of fields around them, and you can use the bell as kind of like a yes no.
Yeah.
Right, so there's not really an invitation there, so you're not asking for things, you're just, you know, trying to have a conversation with something. With the Phasma box, or the what they call the Estes method, which we did more of like kind of just the idea of like having this box that basically just uses phonetics, so it doesn't actually have any words in
okay.
it. It makes words with the phonetics, so you can get different languages, you can get English and all that type of stuff. So when things come together and they actually give you a word, that's very incredible for that type of technology to occur.
Okay, and it happened a lot with us. So Rach, let's play three first, which is Frankie kind of explaining the bell as he just did, but then what the bell did.
I also have the dead bell going, so that's kind of like almost like a K2 meter in a bell form, and it rings when that breaks that. Hi. That was a clear hi.
That's it.
So that's the kind of stuff you're going to get.
Right.
While we were there, the bell was really, really going off. Let's do number four. I'm going to kind of tell you guys what we hear so that we don't have to keep playing it over and over again. But in this one, what was the young lady's name that was with us?
Maddie, yeah.
Who is very conversant in all this and very professional. She's asking who's here with us. The machine makes a bunch of creepy noises and eventually says me.
Is anybody here that would like to talk to us? Hi. Who's here with us?
And as we were there that night,
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah,
because I remember the night. Yeah,
we weren't expecting words, and we weren't expecting answers, and pretty much everything we asked lined up.
Yeah.
Which was really weird.
Yeah.
And I know you well enough to know that you weren't manipulating it.
No.
But if I didn't know you, it was answering so many things, I would have thought, okay.
Mm-hmm.
They got somebody. They got some Confederate somewhere who's punching in words, right?
Maddie is actually very good with Estes, and she's an incredible investigator. And that's why she kind of leads that side of the investigations, because she trains people on that, and she knows the ins and outs. And the you know, the one thing about Maddie and Dan is that they don't fake evidence. That is our entire reputation. If we
you get
ever,
caught once,
you're done. You are a paranormal plumber for the rest of your life.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Let's do sound number 5 when the machine finishes a sequence of numbers.
Sorry, this computer. It's okay.
A sequence of numbers. 2, 3, 4.
5.
Holy. Yeah, that one got me. Let's roll with number 6 where it finishes a sequence of letters.
Can you finish the sequence? A, B, C, D. What comes after D? Wow.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yep.
We didn't do that.
I think even Maddie was like, uh-oh. Did you see her face on that one? It was pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like, she didn't, because sometimes it just hits you so hard. It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Let's do number 9, Rach. This is where I ask whatever we're talking to if it's okay with us being there, and if it wants us to leave, and it says, yeah. Okay with us being here? Would you like us to leave?
Yeah.
So let's do let's do sound number 13 where someone asks who's there. Oh, this is when Maddie had the headphones on.
That's right.
Okay, so at some point, Maddie put these sound-canceling headphones on and like something that blindfold. Covered her eyes, a blindfold.
Yeah.
And she went to a completely separate room, which I'm going to guess as the crow flies was 50 feet away, but it was separated by a wall. Mm-hmm. And I was standing in between, so I could see her and I could see the guys. And the guys were asking questions in a very low voice, as you'll hear. And then she, who can't hear anything they're saying, she's shouting out words.
Yes.
How did she get these words?
So those words are coming from the device, right? So there's the Phasma box that they like to use a lot. And there's a couple other devices that are actually out there. What Maddie is doing in this sequence is called the Estes method. Estes method is based on deprivation. So only Maddie can hear what the device is saying. Nobody else can. And so this is kind of how you delineate between somebody faking something, because you remember how low, like you said, we were saying stuff really under. There's no way she could have heard us.
Yeah.
And so that's how you kind of build that Estes method. And you got to be far away from the person. That's why Dan kept saying everybody away from her, because she can hear and stuff like that. Not that she would ever, you know, repeat, but it also confuses her. So that's what you'll hear here.
Okay, go ahead, Rach.
Who's ringing the bell? I don't think so.
Me.
Who's me?
Who's me? Can you give me a name?
I'm with you.
Right
here.
What's your
name? Hidden.
Hidden.
How's our boy?
Yes.
It says, I died suddenly.
Did you die suddenly?
2.
I died suddenly.
I'm back. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Home.
So that one really freaked me out in the moment, because she's in one room, that other little machine's in another room, and we ask who you are, and she yells, me. And then we think the machine says, I died suddenly. So we say, did you just say that? And it says it again, I died suddenly. Oh. And then she talks about, I'm back, and I'm home. I mean...
Yeah, it's creepy too. And then for those that are listening that are ghost hunters, that's the dead bell. They would know that device. I want you guys to know the sensitivity was all the way on low. And that's what me and Dan were like, I've never seen a dead bell do this, because it's, if you put the sensitivity really high, you're going to get a lot, right? It's opening itself up more. But we always kind of put it, we turn it on and maybe just a little tiny turn and that's it. So it had very low sensitivity to get that kind of response. You had a very active night.
Yeah. So in this one, number 14, Rach, we ask if it's like home, and she yells, maybe not. And then we ask how it died, and they, and she yells, cell door.
Do you like your home?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. How did you die here?
Cell.
In your cell?
Door.
Cell door. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's do number 15 before we take a break. And here she yells, emergency and bathroom and cold.
Mm.
And when asked what happened in the bathroom, she yells, boy and room. And ask if the boy is here, she says, 2 and 1 and high. And we'll get into this a little later in the show, but there was a nurse or an employee who died in the bathtub.
That's correct.
Because the water was
scalding hot.
Scalding hot, and she basically just boiled to death.
Yeah, she passed out. She was on a, she'd had major eye surgery. She was on a medication. She was running a thermal bath, what we believe for a patient or for herself to kind of soothe. And then she basically never got the temperature in there before it kept running. And then she fell face forward into it. And we do have the death certificate that says scalding, not drowning.
Go ahead, Rach.
Emergency.
Can you give me the name?
Bathroom. Cold.
What happened in the bathroom?
Cold.
Are you cold?
Boy.
She said boy?
Yeah.
Room.
Boy. Is the little boy here?
2.
2 little boys are here?
1.
1 boy?
Hi.
Hello. Can you move something?
So all of this stuff, just for the record, we're about 20 minutes into the night.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's not even all of it.
No, I mean, like, we're leaving a lot of stuff out, but that bell never stopped ringing.
Never.
Really? I mean, like, annoying. Just going, 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 going. And then I would say 90% of the things we asked got an answer that would make sense. And then we moved on to other parts of Emmaus Village. We'll present those to you right after the break.
Do you like when we bring our friends on Saturday nights? Are they nice to you?
Please.
Okay. Fair enough.
Welcome back, guys. You are listening to the 24th annual Dave Glover Show Halloween special. We're here with Mandy, who along with Ben owns Emmaus Village out near Martha'sville, and with Frankie, who is one of the principals in Haunted Souls, who does the investigations out there. About a month or so ago, we went out on a night kind of like this. It was pretty fall-like, and the whole place just presents incredibly spooky, and then all the bells going off, and the machines are answering our questions. And we just played something for you where the young woman yells, emergency, bathroom, cold, boy, room. And Mandy, as you were listening to that, it really affected you, because the story about the nurse dying in the tub is a little different according to your research.
Yeah, yeah. So what's fascinating is I've never heard that clip before, and I was listening to it just going to jump out of my seat. And I told Frankie when we were on break, that's actually not the correct story. That's the story that I had found at first too. But when I had looked into it and done my deep dive research, like I always do, what I found was that the nurse who had found Marie Sturm was the nurse who had passed away in the tub, had given a statement to Emmaus. And Emmaus had given this statement to the coroner. And her statement was that Marie Sturm was drawing a hydrotherapy bath for a male patient. Now, anybody who knows this property, it's run by an old industrial boiler system that's coal-fired. So it was very difficult, if not impossible, to regulate the temperature of the water. So they had an old mercury thermometer, and she was supposed to have checked the temperature of the water before submersing this patient. She failed to do so, according to this other nurse. Anyhow, the story goes, her statement was that she submerses the boy into the tub for the hydrotherapy. He panics because it's scalding hot. He accidentally reaches up, grabs her. She falls in, completely submerged. He takes off running. The nurse goes in and finds her instantly passed away, and they never found the boy ever again. And when I say boy, I don't know his age. I don't know if he was truly a young boy or a teenager or a man, but anyway, he was male. But there were several stories where there had been patients that who had escaped and never been found again, and he was one of them. But that's the story of how she passed away, and that's why when I heard this segment, I couldn't believe it. I was jumping out of my seat.
Yeah, I'm now wondering, maybe it's not cold. Maybe they're saying coal.
Oh, yeah, maybe. And who knows why she was giving him a therapy bath.
Yeah, stoked too high. But that's why the forest behind it is haunted. We have a lot of death certificates about exposure out there, too.
Yes, yes.
So there's a lot of, that forest has definitely got something going on in it.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you will hear these machines start calling out the DGS by name.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in. The debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Halloween, 24th annual DGS Halloween show. We went to Emmaus Village. which was built back in the mid-1800s and was several things, but eventually became a place for people with mental and physical maladies. And it was incredibly active while we were there. We have Mandy here, who is one of the owners of Emmaus Village, and Frankie, who is with Haunted Souls, who was with us that night. So probably the scariest point of the night to me was when we went up to the cell where Mad Albert lived. And Mandy has done the research where she has found Albert and his family. And Albert, for some reason, was put into a tiny, tiny room with no windows in the door, and kept there to some degree, whether it was constantly or that was just his primary place where he stayed, for 13 years. And to occupy himself, he wrote all over the walls in pencil, but they painted over that. But when Mandy and Ben bought the place, the paint started chipping off, and you can see the writing. And after the show, we're going to post a bunch of videos and pictures for you so that you can see all this stuff for yourself. But as we walked into the cell, one of the voice boxes called one of us out by name.
So another piece of equipment that we like to use is a mag light. And it's one that you could just buy at the store. It has to have a twist top though to it. And then you just twist it to where it just barely shuts off.
Rachel's here.
Oh, pardon me? Okay.
You can stop it there, Rach. So the thing says Rachel's here.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It had already finished number sequences and letter sequences. And said a lot of things that were relevant to the night, to Emmaus Village. And then it says, Rachel is here, and that won't be the last time that it calls one of us by name. Let's do sound number 25. And we're kind of rushing a little bit because we only have until 5 p.m. We have a lot of stuff to get through. They have this thing, this death whistle, which is the most horrible thing I've ever heard.
Man.
And when we were at the tub where the nurse lost her life, someone blows it, and here's kind of what all that sounded like.
The reason why they found her, so she was drawing the bath this way. Obviously, that was put in way after. And they heard her keys hit the tub, and that's how they noticed that she was in here. But this is the bathroom that she passed away in.
Worst sound I've ever heard.
Wow.
When you're standing next to a tub where someone lost their life.
Awful.
Then we heard, and I'm not going to play it for you because we just don't have time, but when we're looking at the tub, we hear this whooshing sound of water, and was the water not supposed to be on?
There's no water that we know to in that building. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so all of us heard it, right? Andrew, you can jump in here too.
Yeah, I picked it up first on just my recording while I'm, you know, holding the mic up. I start to hear this like kind of water sound, and I don't really think much of it because I just, you know, water and pipes, whatever. But then it was, I think Frankie pointed out, like, does anybody hear water? I was like, yeah, no, I'm picking up on the recording.
And then we kind of followed it around, and after a couple of minutes, it stopped. And that was very strange. And then on the third floor, one of the things that scared me was, Frankie, you say that the third floor has a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. You call them crawlers.
Yeah.
And that you think it's actually spirits that visitors bring.
Correct. There's a lot of times when you're investigating, there's a couple different theories on crawlers. One is manifestation. So if you're bringing a lot of negative stuff to a location and that negative stuff impacts other negative stuff, it could create these egregores, it could create these crawlers, these elementals, and that becomes this negative mess that eventually gains more energy and can then manifest. And some psychics, some mediums can actually see these things. Once again, that's all theorized. And then so in that one particular, in the building that we're in right now, which would be the SETS building, we have very good paranormal investigators. Penn Paranormal came in, and they're really smart with this type of stuff. They know a lot about crawlers. They're like, there's something going on here. And it's a trickster type of thing. It's not like an evil thing, even though it'll say it's evil and like when you're doing Estus with it, but it intends no harm is what it always says too. So
at some point we find this underground cavity and three people lost their lives there, correct?
Yes. There was a elevator maintenance man that was. I'm looking at Mandy now at this point because every time I say something, it's like
no.
Yeah. So we had elevator maintenance man. There was a prisoner got trapped behind it, and they found him. And then there was a girl that they used to put behind there that was blind. It was a terrible story, and we're still trying to get like clearance on that entire story. But we did talk to one of the nurses. That was a more recent thing that had happened. I mean, she's in her 70s now, but she remembers specifically that they would put this one child who was acting up in that where we put Kevin.
So we put Kevin in that room, and it's completely closed off. It's completely pitch black.
Yes.
Three people died down there. Kevin's the bravest of us. So I'm going to play you a couple of minutes of sound of what Kevin was doing, and then when we come back from the break, I'm going to play you what Kevin missed.
All right. So I'm all by myself if there's anything you want to talk about. Hello, is that what you're asking me? Hello? So who am I talking to? I'm not understanding very well. So maybe I should start with a simple question. How many people are here? Are you saying don't? Okay, so let's do this. Do you guys want to play a game? Okay, I think I heard yes. So here's the game. What number comes next? If I say 10, 11, 12.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to play for you what Kevin missed during the time and then wrap this up with Mandy and Frankie, DGS Halloween Show.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 24th Annual Halloween Program. So we went to Emmaus Village out near Marthasville. We've taken you through like some of the things that the machines were saying, words that made sense. They finished number sequences. They finished letter sequences. They were saying a lot of things that were relevant to the property and to the investigation. We talked about Matt Albert, who was kept in this tiny little room and covered the walls with pencil writing, and it was painted over, then the paint chipped off, and now you can clearly see it and see what he was writing about and talking about. And then at the end of the night, when we're all pretty frazzled, we put Kevin in this crawl space, and you heard him kind of talking back and forth to this machine, and then this is what he missed.
So I've never been here before, but do you guys hear any names? Did you hear the name they called me when they asked if I wanted to sit here?
So it says Kevin.
I missed that completely in real time.
And you missed it.
The only explanation I've been able to come up with is I'm trying to hear every one of the little noises, and there's a little static here and a little piece of something there. I think I was just behind. Like, I was probably two or three noises behind in what I'm thinking about, and I'm just like, it's not there.
Rach, will you play number 33, which is just the word Kevin? Just play it a few times so people can hear.
Yeah. Give me 1 second here while it loads. I also think, Wheels, sometimes when you're in that situation, I think a lot of people don't, like, it just kind of goes past them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been in that situation before during our investigations where it's like, how did I not see that? Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's just the way it is. Okay, here it is.
Kevin.
I mean, what's that, 4 seconds after I asked what they said my name was?
So as the chief skeptic on the show, what did you think of the night and what did you think of that?
The night was fascinating. It's obviously, you know, it's a disturbing place. I mean, as far as, like, you know, there were bad things that happened, and that part of it is not, it's impossible to avoid as you're hearing the stories that you guys have been telling and you're kind of going around the building. And when I was in the crawl space just by myself, it was pretty quiet. It was peaceful. Like, there's nothing weird going on. I just felt like I was just talking into nothing.
Yes.
And I don't have an explanation for that. I had the machine sitting on my lap. I had the recorder in one hand. I had that on there. So there's no other interference. There's nothing else going on. I don't know what I'm doing, and it's dark. I can't see anyway. So I don't have an explanation for how that happened.
So Mandy, as the owner of the property and someone who lives there, what do you take from today?
I mean, it just never ceases to amaze me, I will tell you. I just when I think I've heard it all, I hear the next thing, and I'm like, I can't even believe that. But I can at the same time. But yeah, to skeptics, I think if you really would like to be open-minded to paranormal, or even not, come out, check it out, because it's something that's going to change, I think, the way you think, no matter if you believe or not.
And I mean, for me, I left the Souls. Me and Jeremy left the Souls. We are now just working with Emmaus Village because we want to concentrate our time with them. We love the Souls. We'll always be Souls. But we just really want to work with Ben and Mandy to make this place the number one place. And I think we have the potential to do that. So I'm coming on as basically director of coordinating events and media. So having you guys out there doing the Bigfoot stuff. It's 30 minutes in my backyard. I can be close to my daughter, close to my garage where we have our haunted cars. Mm-hmm. And we're probably going to put a couple on the property. Mm-hmm. And just help other big teams come in and blow this team out. It's open to anyone, any person with a paranormal team, any smaller team that wants private investigations, or if you're just one of those single guys that's out there, girl, male or female, that just want to do the thing by yourself, we also offer that now too.
Okay. Rach, your thoughts?
I mean, it was such a heavy experience being there, and then hearing more about the history today, it's just all kind of coming back. Having my name called out, hearing Kevin's name called out, it makes you wonder, like, why? Like, why us? Why not Andrew or you or, you know, Frankie? Yeah, I'm going to be turning this over in my mind all night.
All right, guys, we are going to put some more stuff together for you. Believe it or not, we didn't get to a lot of this stuff, a lot of the sounds, and we have a lot of very, very cool, creepy video that we're going to post. So thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it creeped you out. Everyone have a safe and really fun trick-or-treating tonight. Happy Halloween from the DTS.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.